The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 15th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, 6.3.19, Dharman tuzakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is very, by nature, very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatanvitam tam sajivam sadaitam savadutam parijana saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha
So, this human form of life is meant for being connected. With Radha and Krishna. A life without connection with Radha and Krishna is no life at all. Such a disconnected life is death, actually. So, we are enjoined by the Vedic wisdom, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. So, there are two means of acquiring knowledge. There is the Aroha Panta and Avaroha Panta. Aroha Panta is the path of ascending knowledge. That I gather information with my imperfect senses. And I analyze that information, that data, with my imperfect mind. And in this way, I try to come up with some understanding of what's true. But this empirical method, the Avroha Panta method, is doomed from the very start. Because we're dealing with senses that are imperfect. Therefore, any knowledge we gain through these imperfect senses, that is also imperfect. So in the Vedic culture, there is another means of scientific progress.
And
that means is the Avaroha Panta. So that is the way of descending knowledge. Just like the word avatar, avaroha, the same ava, means descending. So that descending knowledge, avaroha panta, that is the Vedic way of scientific progress. So how does that process of avaroha panta work? The Avaroha Panta process is a process of purifying your senses. Because each and every one of us are emanations of that original Supreme Person. Our original nature is to be connected with that original person. Our original nature is to actually experience that original person with full sense perception.
нашата изначална природа е да, ние да изпитваме тази изначална личност с цял всичките си сетива.
One who comes to that perfectional stage, he knows everything.
Личност, която достигне до това ниво на съвършенство, тя познава всичко.
His knowledge is perfect.
И притежава съвършено знание.
Because he knows that person who is the source of everything.
Защото тя познава тази личност, която е източника на всичко.
Therefore he knows everything.
И затова той знае всичко.
Just like when that sun comes up in the morning,
както когато слънцето изгрее сутринта,
it wipes out all the darkness.
Целият мрак се разсеява.
Гянейна туттарав гянам, ейшам нашитам атманаха. Tesham madicham vajjnanam prakashayati tatpadam. That is explained in the 5th chapter, text number 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. That when one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then one, everything is revealed, just as the sun reveals everything in the daytime.
Когато човек е просветлен с това знание, което унищожава невежеството, на такъв човек всичко се разкрива, както когато изгрее слънцето през деня.
So this is actual scientific progress.
Така че това е действителният научен напредък.
To realize that supreme source of all existence with purified senses.
И човек да реализира този източник на всичко съществуващо с пречистените си сетива.
So how do you realize it?
И как става това осъзнаване?
That is the subject matter of this verse.
Това е темата на тази вечершния стих.
If you want to purify your senses, then you must be trained by a person who has purified his senses.
Ако ви искате да пречистите собствените си сетива, трябва да получите да бъдете обучени от личност, която вече е пречистила сетивата си.
If someone has not purified their senses, how can they train us to purify our senses? Is that possible?
Ако някой не си е пречистил сетивата, как би могъл да ни обучи да направим това? Възможно ли?
If they don't know how to do it, how they can teach us to do it?
Ако те не знаят как да го направят, как биха могли да ни учат ние да го направим?
So we have to learn the art of purifying our senses from a person who has mastered the art of purifying his senses.
Трябва да научим изкуството как да пречистим сетивата си от личност, която вече го освоила това изкуство.
That person is the spiritual master.
Тази личност е духовният учител.
That's the very meaning of the word spiritual master.
Това е самият смисъл, значение на думата духовен учител.
Does it mean he's a master politically?
Значи ли, че той е освоил добре политиката?
He's a prime minister, he's a, you know, the mayor or something, is that what it means, master?
Или има някаква позиция висша в политиката като премьер-министър или кмет?
He is my boss at work.
Дали той ми е шефа на работата?
Is that master? Or he has a dog and he tells the dog what to do. He's the master of the dog. No. Spiritual master means that person who has mastered his senses. He is called Goswami. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udaropasta vegam etan vitan yo vishaheta dira sarvam apimam prativim to shishya. That person who conquers mind, words, anger, tongue, belly and genitals, he is the actual spiritual master who can make disciples all over the world. So what does disciple mean? Disciple means one who knows the art of disciplining his senses. That's disciple. So in order to teach someone how to discipline their senses, one must be a master of his senses. We have to approach such a person who has mastered his senses to learn the truth. There's a system of how to learn the truth from the bona fide spiritual master. This system is given by Krishna himself. Do you become friends with the spiritual master? Is that the technique? You become buddies with the spiritual master. Arjuna was buddies with Krishna and it didn't work. Becoming buddy-buddy with Guru Maharaj is not the way to realize the highest truth. Familiarity breeds contempt. I remember one sannyasi, he had a farming community in the U.S. many years ago. Prabhupada instructed him to live separately away from all the other devotees. In that way there would be some distance, some respect would be there. It's actually warned not to get too... In one hand it says you should come close to the spiritual master. That is there. Upanishad means to come close to the spiritual master physically. But it's also warned about being too close is also a warning that familiarity breeds contempt. So we have to always keep the mood described here towards the spiritual master. Bowing down to him, rendering him service, inquiring from him submissively. This service rendering is a very important thing. Because, as Prabhupada says, don't take the knowledge gratis. That I take the knowledge from Guru, thank you very much, and I don't reciprocate with that. You see, the Guru has gone to great trouble to give me the knowledge. He's worked very hard to make the knowledge available to me. So shouldn't I reciprocate with that? If you go to the university, you pay tuition, isn't it? And the professor, he gets some income. So the spiritual master does not charge any fee. He is freely giving the loving mercy and the knowledge out of kindness. But it's not that we should take that mercy and that knowledge from the spiritual master and not reciprocate with it. That's cheating if we do that. You see, we are cheating. We are taking, it's like going to a store and taking something without paying for it. So we have to reciprocate. That's what Krishna is telling us to do. You inquire from him, you take the knowledge, and then you reciprocate by giving service to him. If you simply take the knowledge and you don't get the service, then the knowledge remains theoretical. But if you take the knowledge and you render service, then the knowledge becomes realized knowledge. So theoretical knowledge, it goes in one ear, it sits there for a while, then it goes out the other ear.
Theoretical knowledge flies through one ear, stays for a while, and then it goes out the other ear.
Prabhupada wrote me a letter in this connection. He said that if you study but you don't apply the wisdom, then you lose it. You lose your taste for it. So some may think, well, this is a very nice philosophy. But I don't want to do any service. After a while, you'll lose your taste to even hear the philosophy anymore. To actually taste the full nectar of Krishna consciousness, you have to reciprocate the mercy you receive from Guru and Vaishnavas. This is why Narottam Das Thakur says, Anande bolo hari vajav rindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade mojayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Worship that holy Dham, Shri Vrindavan Dham. And Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. You always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So the Vaishnavas and Guru, they are giving us so much loving kindness. So we are meant to lovingly serve them. Actually, we are meant to worship them. Therefore, every day we pray, Vancha kalvatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha parinam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. The Vaishnavas, they are worshipable. So, this is a very nice system that Krishna has given us. He is invested within the spiritual master, his divine Shakti. Just as the deity is invested with divine Shakti, the spiritual master is also invested with divine Shakti. Therefore, we worship the spiritual master, especially on his appearance day, Vyasa Puja. And also his disappearance day. Because as Prabhupada said, appearance and disappearance, they are the same thing. So, if we take very seriously these words of our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and we take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, then we will become free from all the anxieties of material existence. If we look in the book, Nectar of Devotion, and we see the list given by Srila Rupa Goswami of how to practice Krishna consciousness. He gives very big, long list. Many, many items how to do Krishna consciousness. The first five items are the most important items. He gives the first most important items, he lists first. So just see how important is the spiritual master. Here is the list of the first five items. Number one, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Number two, take initiation and instructions from a bona fide spiritual master. Number three, follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Number four, learn from the spiritual master how to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. The spiritual master is not an independent agent. He is simply a representative of the previous acharyas. It is his duty to pass on to the world, to students and the entire world, what message was given by the previous acharyas. Therefore, the guru is God's DHL man. He simply delivers the package without tampering with it. So the spiritual master, he teaches you how to follow Srila Prabhupada, how to follow the previous acharyas. And the fifth item is that one should inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So these are the most important items in devotional service. And they are all centered on the point of the spiritual master. Some people say, well, Prabhupada was the last guru in the disciplic succession. This is called Ritvik philosophy. But you know what Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles? He said that I am the 11th in the line from Lord Chaitanya. You can actually count it, you see. There's Lord Chaitanya is one, and then Rupa Goswami and others, that's two. Raghunath Das Goswami and others, that's three. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj, that's four. And then Narottam Das Thakur, that's five. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's six. And Jagannath Das Babaji, that's seven. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's eight. Gorkishore Das Babaji, that's nine. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that's ten. And His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is 11. And you know what Prabhupada told us? He said, and you are number 12. He told His disciples, He said, you are number 12. So how these Vitvik people can say that Prabhupada ended with Prabhupada? That's not what Prabhupada said. He said, you are number 12. It's continuing after me, this disciplic succession. So if we actually want to accept that Prabhupada is the greatest spiritual master in the history of the world, which he certainly is, don't you think we should take his instructions as being true? So these Vitvik people, they claim they are following Prabhupada, but actually they're not following Srila Prabhupada. They're offenders against Srila Prabhupada. They're saying that Prabhupada is wrong. They're trying to present themselves that they are better than Srila Prabhupada. So we're not interested in such people, such philosophy. We want to stick to the Sampradaya, as Prabhupada taught us. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
He has a technical and philosophical question.
Give me one question at a time.
Okay. Then we start with the philosophical. You spoke about this obedience, you know, following the spiritual master. So within a framework of ISKCON, we tend to have a kind of like myself, my spiritual master, like guru parampara access or line. At the same way, we have another authoritative line. This is like GBC body, the GBC secretary, and the perfect way is when these both, you know, go together. But, you know, could you like elaborate more on that issue?
This is a hot topic nowadays. They call it parallel lines of authority.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I translate my question.
Didn't you?
Вопросът ми беше свързан с това, че от една страна ние имаме линията на така наречената линия на ученическата последователност, аз и моя гуру. От друга страна имаме една друга авторитетна линия в ИСКОН и това е GBC тялото, GBC секретаря. Идеалният вариант е, когато тези две си кореспондират съвършено и молбата ми беше ние да разсъждаваме по този въпрос.
Devotees talk about it like it's some kind of a problem that we have now, the parallel lines of authority problem. But actually, we had the same thing when Prabhupada was here. We had our guru, and we also had our temple president and our GBC. So, but what Prabhupada would say, just like Prabhupada told me directly, he said, you follow your temple president and your GBC. He ordered me to do them, you see. So by following my temple president, I am following Prabhupada. So there's no, they're not two lines, there's one line. The temple president is not different from the spiritual master. The GBC is not different from the spiritual master. So I don't accept this idea of parallel lines of authority. It's not a proper understanding. Because the spiritual master, just like Prabhupada trained me to follow the ISKCON authorities, temple president and GBC, I trained my disciples to do the same thing. So where are the two lines of authority? It's one line. That's my counter argument to this idea. Next question. Yes. Actually, we're all bumbling idiots to a certain extent, let's face it. So we need each other to keep each other in line. The temple presidents need the GVC to keep, and the gurus to keep them in line. The GVCs need the other GVCs to keep them in line. So, we don't expect that everyone's perfect. But we do expect that everybody should be sincere. And those who are not, they should get out. He should become sincere, get up. Yeah. Yes, that is a fact. Prabhupada said that one should offer the same respect to not only the gurus, but any Prabhupada disciple should be offered the same respect. Of course, if they've deviated and they're not following, if they're preaching bogus philosophy, it's common sense. I mean, one who's strictly following should be given the same respect. I haven't finished answering it. However, Prabhupada also said that one can accept others as siksha guru, but that doesn't mean you disobey your diksha guru. So it's one of those achincha beta beta tattva. It's one and different. Actually, you have one authority, and that's your spiritual master. And you accept others as spiritual masters, as people who can inspire you, insofar as they connect, as they help you to connect with your spiritual master. Someone tells you your spiritual master, you shouldn't follow your spiritual master. You obviously shouldn't listen to them. Because your spiritual master is your authority. That is the Shastra. The Shastra very clearly states the spiritual master is the following the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. One must never deviate from them. But the spiritual master orders his disciple, to my God brother should be given all respect. Not that I only... The spiritual master will be very disturbed if you're offensive towards his God brother. He wants to see that the disciples will be very, very respectful to his God brother. Very, very respectful to the temple authority, to the GBC. Etc. So you had a point? Okay. Did I cover it? It's one and different. Yeah, for the spiritual master, for your diksha guru, there's very special respect you have to give. Whenever you see your spiritual master, you immediately must offer obeisances. When he leaves and he enters the room or leaves the room, obeisances. When you enter or leave his presence, obeisances. So there is more. You give more awe and reverence to your spiritual master. But at the same time, you should be very, very respectful to the God brothers also. You should offer also obeisances to them, but not that you have to every time, you know, 20, 50 times a day. With your guru, you may have to offer 50 times a day your obeisances. If you're serving him, going, coming in and out of the room, 50 times you may offer your obeisances in one day. But for others, you, once in a day, you must
obeisance.
So there's respect, but there's special respect given to the spiritual master. Next question.
As far as I understand, his point is, like he says, when he joined this border, you know, the proper association between the male and female devotees was more visible. Whereas nowadays, he says, it's more or less like, you know, not so clear, a little bit washed away.
Yes, so what's the question?
Like your association with your good wife. So his question, as I understand it, is, you know, what's this proper balance and, you know, the border association between...
Yes. What is the proper balance for male-female association? Actually, this is one of those questions I directly asked Srila Prabhupada. He wrote me a letter in this connection. He said, associate almost nil. That means as little as possible between male and females. Prabhupada says it is fire and butter. The women, they are like fire. And the men, they are like butter. So here in the kitchen, we had some very nice butter we offered to Prabhupada. Did we keep it by the stove? No, we kept it in the refrigerator. So, keep cool. We should put a stamp on every male devotee's forehead. Keep in a cool place. Don't associate too much with the women, you see. And someone may say, oh, you people hate women. No, this is our love for women. We don't want to see them as objects of sex and sex pleasure, you see. We want to see them always as our mothers. So we keep a respectful distance. Actually, it is a law of nature. If a male body and a female body come close together, what happens? Those hormones get revved up. So, don't let the hormones get revved up. I will embrace my godbrothers, you see. But out of respect, I will not embrace my God sisters. Even though in my heart I embrace them, just as I embrace my God brothers, because they are dear souls. But physically, I will not embrace them, you see. Because it creates sex desire. So our movement is actually getting off track nowadays, I have to be honest. Devotees are now posting articles on the internet how we should have embracing between men and women, you see. This is completely bogus. Prabhupada states it directly in his teachings. No Brahman will ever do that. No Kshatriya or Vaishya, only Shudras, they do those kind of things. And men and women embracing, that is Shudra. In public place. There should never be any scene, any embracing between men and women in public place. That is Vedic culture. So our movement is getting off the track. Therefore, I'm preaching strongly in these points to get ISKCON back on the track. I know that I don't have any potency, but I'm just begging that Prabhupada's potency will become... Devotees will realize that Prabhupada wants there should be no public embracing between men and women. I pray that this will, devotees will realize this and they will stop this practice which is now growing in America. It will be the ruination of our movement, actually. One South Indian Brahmin, he saw in ISKCON, in South India today, Brahminical culture is still very strong. No man and woman will publicly embrace in South India, certain areas of South India. And he saw in ISKCON they are doing, he said, what sort of nonsense is this? This is not Vaishnavas. This public embracing of men and women in ISKCON, this, we will lose our reputation as Vaishnav. We are meant to lead the Vaishnava world. Prabhupada is the greatest Vaishnava preacher. We will spoil Prabhupada's reputation by this nonsense activity, public embracing of men and women. We will spoil Prabhupada's reputation. So please, do not do these things. Keep the pure Vedic culture. We never saw Prabhupada hug anyone, any lady. He would hug his male disciples. We never saw him hug a female disciple. Any other questions? You're next.
and in previous darshans that one should accept the instruction of the Shiksha Guru if it is in line or in mood of the Diksha Guru. But nowadays in ISKCON there are many gurus, Shiksha Gurus, and they are, because they are persons, they have different moods, especially his spiritual master, he is known to be very...
You should stick with the mood of your Diksha Guru. Described in the Nectar Devotion that one guru may give one instruction, one guru may give another instruction. Prabhupada said those are details. But the principle is you must accept guru. That's the principle. So whatever instructions you've received from your initiating spiritual master, your Diksha Guru, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, those you must follow with your life and soul. If you find other gurus are helping you to connect with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, then you may accept their shelter as a means of strengthening your relationship with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that inquiries which are inconsistent, they are condemned. Inconsistent.
Blind. Blind in. What is that? Inconsistent?
Absurd. Absurd.
Show me. Absurd. Yeah, then that's different than inconsistent. That means don't ask stupid, ridiculous questions. I remember one reporter, she said, Swamiji, what do you do for fun when you come to New York? See, that's an absurd... You don't ask a spiritual master, what do you do to have a good time when you come to New York? Actually, one disciple, he was in the car with Prabhupada. And he asked Prabhupada, what was it... He just come from another country. What was it like there, Prabhupada? See, he was getting actually too familiar with Srila Prabhupada asking such a question. See now how Prabhupada replied to them? Stone silence, nothing. And the devotee realized he made a big blunder by asking that question. You have to seriously inquire about Guru means you inquire from him how to advance in Krishna consciousness and how to serve him. Don't ask stupid questions. Simply inquire how to serve Guru Maharaj and how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Of course, the spiritual master is very kind. But we shouldn't take advantage of his kindness unnecessarily. We should know from the Shastra what is our duty as his disciple, and that's how we should inquire. Next question. Yeah.
Satisfying the spiritual master, pleasing the spiritual master, can we see his devotees or his students as his expansions and serving them is pleasing to us.
Yes. Prabhupada was very happy when we would serve his disciples, our godbrothers. If we could very nicely serve our godbrothers, Prabhupada was very happy. Just like Narottam Das said, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Madhya Yaman. Serve Guru and Vaishnava, both. The more you can please the Vaishnavas by nice service, the more your spiritual master will be pleased with you. Next question. Yeah.
Said in the lecture that only one who is with purified senses can train us to also purify our senses. But in some place, Srila Prabhupada says that even though one is imperfect, if he repeats whatever he has received from the perfect, then his instructions are also perfect.
Yeah. But the imperfect person is following the perfect rules and regulations. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. So he's purified himself by his initiation, by taking diksha and following the vows. That has purified him. Even though he's imperfect, he is following the perfect system, and that way he's become purified. Prabhupada said that he was imperfect. Of course, that was his humility. He said, I am not perfect, but what I am giving you is perfect. So those who are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, they never say, oh, I am pure, I am perfect. Because the more one becomes advanced, the more one feels how dirty and contaminated I am. Questions, Mar? Big society?
Yeah, like society as a whole, like ISKCON society, Vaishnava society, it's a part of, you know, bigger society from the people. So to which extent we should consider...
You're talking about the... Which society are you talking about? The whole material world?
Yes, I mean, no. Well, this planet, for example, like we live here, right. We should abide by some rules that have established already.
Yes.
So to which extent we should consider the implementation of these rules in our daily ISKCON life, spiritual... Or are they spiritual or they are material? Like
keeping to the right when you're driving down the road?
Yeah, for example, this.
Yes. Translate for the people.
Въпросът ми беше до каква степен обществото на вишнавите е част от едно по-голямо общество, в което живеем, човечеството, да речем. До каква степен трябва да считаме тия правила, които трябва да ги спазваме, живеейки в този по-голям социум. До каква степен трябва да ги считаме за трансцендентални. Дали са трансцендентални изобщо или не, и това въпита дали съм карал кола, като съм идвал насам. Пъти аз отговорих да речем това.
So, since our only duty is to serve Krishna, should we obey the laws of the material world? When Srila Prabhupada was at the Gainesville, Florida airport, the Jacksonville, Florida airport, devotee parked the car where it said no parking. Prabhupada told him to move the car. And I can never forget when I was in Atlanta with
Prabhupada.
There was a, let's see how to show, there was, Prabhupada's quarters was here, the temple building was here. There was a walkway that went to Prabhupada's quarters, it went like this. And then Prabhupada had to go at an angle. He had to walk this way and then go this way. So the devotees had made a shortcut through the grass by not going on the sidewalk. They had cut a, they had worn actually a pathway in the grass. They had killed the grass by walking straight instead of walking like this and this, you see. Shortcut, they call it. But I noted every time the Prabhupada walked from the temple room over to his quarters, he never took the shortcut. He always stayed on the sidewalk. Aristocratic gentleman, you see. We thought, oh, we're saving time by walking across the grass. But actually, we were simply low class. Simply low class, that's a Sudra. Prabhupada showed a true Brahmana, he doesn't walk on the grass like that, he takes the sidewalks. You see? And there was no rule, but Prabhupada was even higher, even more moral than the rules of the state. You see? He had a higher morality than the material society even had. So what to speak of following the ordinary morality, the pure devotees follows even a higher standard of morality than the material society. This I have seen with my own eyes. Yes.
Initiated from two spiritual masters,
mm-hmm.
and each time he was feeling like he was in the beginning. He was feeling that he was kind of forced by the spiritual master to accept him as a
guru. I never forced you.
That's
not true.
He's talking about his feeling.
Oh, his heart forced him. Okay, I didn't force. That's against the GVC rules. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to force. GVC will chastise me if I do that.
GVC
said that he read that Prabhupada said that we should make the devotees even those who are not willing to become devotees. So he's asking how to purify his heart from this feeling that he is forced.
How to purify your heart from the feeling that you're forced? Well, I can tell you this. Sometimes we foolishly think that the Hare Krishna movement is a sect, a brainwashed cult that did a number on our brains and somehow hypnotized us into shaving our heads and putting on tilak. But I can tell you that is not this movement. This movement is not a sect. It's not a religious cult. This is simply the science of knowing who you are and being who you are. That's all it is. Do you want to know who you are? Or do you want to be an illusion, not knowing who you are? What is your answer? Do you want to know who you are? Yes or no?
All right.
So, and you also, do you want to be who you are? You'd like to be who you are. Yes. So, is that a genuine desire or someone is pressuring you? Tell me.
I don't know.
I see. So you think about it. Would you rather be an illusion not knowing your identity? And would you rather know who you are? It's somebody put some charisma on you, you see, so you go, yes, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or would you really like to know who you are? A genuine desire to know who you are. I have very carefully analyzed my own position in this regard. Because for the last 4 years I've been writing every day to thousands of readers all over the world. I've given me a tremendous opportunity to analyze my own perspective about being a Krishna conscious person. And I have reached the very firm conviction that this is not a sect. Actually, in my case, it was definitely not a sect. I began my worship of Krishna consciousness with this poster in 1968. I didn't even know there was a Hare Krishna movement at that time. I discovered this beautiful poster of Radha Krishna. I had read one edition of the Gita where Krishna says, if you offer me with love, I will accept you the foodstuffs. One non-devotee taught me the Hare Krishna mantra. And I started worshipping Radha Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. I didn't even know there was a movement. So you can't say I was brainwashed by some movement. I was practicing Krishna consciousness before the movement, before I came in touch with the movement. So I'm convinced it's not a cult. I'm convinced it's an awakening of the original natural energy of the living being. There's no doubt in my mind. Next question.
Topic of the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. In one place, Srila Prabhupada said that the disciple should develop a loving relationship with his spiritual master. So his question is, what is the proper balance?
Like a father and son. Not brothers.
So we have heard about the technical reciprocation, the system of acquiring knowledge between the disciple and the spiritual master. But is there any esoterical element in this, in the delivery of knowledge? Is there any mystical element?
Yes, sound travels through the ether.
Das Buch ist ein Vision von Ephira.
So, when you hear the words of the spiritual master, that is coming through the ether. Sound is transmitted to the etherical level. He didn't love Prasadam.
Mm-hmm.
You just eat out of duty? I don't believe it. Next question. See anybody else? Oh, there'll be a new one. Okay. Yes. If you want to train anyone how to be a Vaikuntha man, you must be a Vaikuntha man. If you want to train your father to be a Vaikuntha man, then you must offer your obeisances to him every day in the morning. Next question.
Said that we have received the knowledge, the transcendental knowledge, for free, without any charge. And during the time of Prabhupada, we have seen Prabhupada. He was dedicating much time to record bhajans and write books and all these things without any fee. But nowadays we see that there is this.
Tape ministry can charge something. Prabhupada's tape ministry was charging for tapes when Prabhupada was here. He never complained about that.
Трябва да платим за това. Това е нормално. Може да го направим. Не знам. 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 Не знам
says it's not that this should not be done, but it seems that nowadays has become like a sales, like a trade. And for example, those persons who are not able to purchase, they are in like a disadvantaged situation.
Actually, but this, the MP3s have made it so cheap now compared to the way it used to be. That's cheaper than it used to be because of MP3 technology. Used to be you had to spend a few dollars to get a cassette tape with two lectures on it. We're in high-tech heaven now. You can get a little iPod and put it in your shirt pocket that has all of Prabhupada's lectures and conversations, everything, in one little iPod in your pocket. What would it fill a whole closet? Before, now you can put them in your pocket. We're in high-tech heaven now. You shouldn't complain. It's become much cheaper now than it used to be. I was running a tape ministry many years ago, and one man had wanted a whole set of the tapes. He spent $1,000, $1,000 to get a whole set of tapes. But now you can get the same thing for like $25. So the prices have come down because of technology.
Lectures on an iPod or something like this, but not paying this $25.
No, you should support those. You shouldn't bootleg, because then you put the people who are producing the material won't be able to continue doing it.
Човек не трябва да постъпва нелегално, защото тези които произвеждат материала, те няма да могат да продължат да го правят, защото ще загубят.
Should pay the devotees who are doing the. You should pay something.
He says the material was produced 30, 40 years ago. They were this lecture.
Anyway, these are not philosophical questions. Do you have the material or not? Do you have the recordings or not? You don't have any Prabhupada recording? I can give you some. Give me a hard disk, you know, an external hard disk. I'll give you some. I'll have mercy on you and give you some. Third world, you know, in Bulgaria. You should keep your eyes open and be honest. That's what I do.
But then, you know, that you may get the argument, you don't love the devotees.
No, you have to be very expert. You have to, as Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say, discretion is the better part of valor.
My question was, if we had to choose between being honest and open, примера с заека, който се затваря очите с ушите, какъв би бил правилният израз на любов и любовни взаимоотношения между преданите?
You become very expert that you can speak the truth without agitating people's minds.
Човек трябва да стане много опитен, така че да говори истината без да възбужда умовете на другите.
Speak the truth in such a wonderful way that everyone loves it.
Да говори се на такъв прекрасен.
That's the secret. See, Prabhupada was very expert. He could tell someone they were a demon and they would love it. So anyway, we'll have another, I'll be giving one more lecture on Monday night. We're leaving tomorrow morning early to Timișoara, Romania. We will fly back on Monday afternoon, and then one final lecture on Monday night, and then we will go to the Middle East and India and Malaysia and Australia and New Zealand and Fiji and Canada and back to the U.S. before coming back to Bulgaria in the spring. So we'll give a special farewell lecture on Monday night. Everybody come. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring your prime minister. Let's make a revolution in Bulgaria. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.